Well, hi there. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani, and we have the show team in place. Rich, Jesse, actually, Rich is on another show now. I keep forgetting about that. Michael Birchfield is
the producer. Muscle memory.
Jeff Burson is on the board today, and Michael's doing social media. And that leaves Ryan on the phones, Debbie, and I'm off to a great start this week.
It's okay. Can you see me on Skype? I'm waving to you. Are you there?
I can.
Oh, okay. Good. Cool. So we have a connection. That's good. I'm just checking because the cable company is driving up and down my street again, and I'm thinking, I wonder if I even have a connection. Okay. Yes. So it's Holy Week. Welcome to Holy Week. And we're going to start off today's show by talking about disagreements with your spouse. Now, what's the appropriate timing for that? We're all in our homes with our spouses. Well, if you have a spouse, we're with our spouses. And, you know, disagreements, even arguments can arise. And we want to talk about it. So we're going to throw out a couple questions to you and see if you can respond to help us how we make up after these disagreements, okay, in our homes. 833-288-3986. Okay, go. Fill up the phones. And Jerry, I know we've got a lot of questions we're going to ask our listeners to see if they can respond to so we can learn and we can grow.
Yeah, some things that might be on your mind or that might trigger something in your mind or in your heart that would encourage you to call in today as we discuss how you and your spouse make up after an agreement. Do you have a kind of a routine that you like to go to? Do you step back, take a pause, deep breath, maybe not see each other for an hour or something like that? Do you strive to make the outcome of the disagreements a win-win for the relationship? That's so very important.
What can you learn from
such differences, disagreements? And do you respect your spouse's views even when they're vastly different than yours? Mm-mm. So those are some of the, we toss out things like that, Debbie, and I'm sure people can comment on things like that.
Well, we could use this not only for spousal disagreements, if you have anybody in your household that you are, interacting with, and disagreements can happen. So those are some good questions. How about, do you seek to resolve disagreements in a positive way? Are you quick to admit your faults and ask for forgiveness? Okay. Sometimes we just kind of, fold our arms and say, and stand our ground and nope, I'm right about this. I am not going to bend. I'm not going to give in, but maybe we don't want this to turn into or to escalate into a major conflict. So we're very quick to say, okay, you know what? I may have been too quick to say this. I didn't do my research. You know what? Let me back up. I'm sorry about that. I shouldn't even have said anything. Is that how you overcome these disagreements? Do you choose your words wisely so as to not hurt your spouse or your loved one that you're in this household with during this isolation time that we're all dealing with during this pandemic? So how do you solve disagreements with people in your house? Let's talk about it. Please dial in at 833-288-3986. Ryan is ready to answer your call. You could help others with your take on this. So don't sit this out. Don't be entertained by other people's arguments. We want you to jump in and be the teachers here. 833-288-3986.
Yeah, and for all intents and purposes, it could be somebody not even under the same roof that you live in. Maybe a sibling who lives across town, across the country. It's sad, Debbie. Every time I hear of a parent and a child who just simply can't talk to each other, that is just so heartbreaking to me. So maybe extend that relationship bubble a little bit more and see what you can come up with, because making up is so very, very important. We read the scripture the other day from St. Paul. Mm-hmm. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And so it's very, very important. And, I'm coming at it from a little bit of a disadvantage. I've had girlfriends in the past, but none of them amounted to marriage. We talked marriage with both of them. But,
right.
Even those situations, there were those times when you learn. You just have to, you bite your tongue off or just,
bite your tongue.
Clench your teeth and say, darn it, I'm right,
Right. You're not the type that you don't like to enter into conflict very easily. So I could foresee you. You probably, when you were dating in the past, you probably just said, okay, you're right. You tend to give in a little bit. Were you always like that?
I don't know. I really don't know. Have I always been that nice, are you saying? Yeah. Yes, I have.
So you haven't changed. You're no. still a saint. Right. Well, how about this, Jerry? How about this? This is a good one. And this, and you know what? You make a good point. This is not just if you have a spouse or, you know, a loved one in your household. If you're dating somebody, if you're courting someone right now, courting, that's an old term. If you're dating somebody, okay, let's talk about how you handle disagreements. That's a really good point, Jerry. I'm glad you brought that up. How about this? Are you able to move past the disagreement without keeping score? Now, they say women remember everything. They'll remember something from 20 years ago, Jerry. So it's real easy sometimes for us to keep score. It's just, it could be a blessing and a curse, right? So let's talk about that as well. Here's the number, 833-288-3986. That is the number to call to get on the show. Remember, this is your show. Very important. So if you're dating all the way to married life, to just having somebody in your home, maybe even your disagreements with your neighbors, let's talk about it. Well, you probably only could have disagreements by phone right now. Right, Jerry? Right. Or 6 feet apart.
But, you know, another thing, share with the world how it helps you. You know, I think we're all going to disagree on things. We all are going to have heated disagreements. But, Debbie, what's important is what comes out the other end. If there's still tension that remains, if there's unforgiveness, all of these things can just continue to eat away at you. Right. But if you have a beautiful, grace-filled kind of a reconciliation with another person, I would have to think that can only deepen the relationship going forward.
Well, yeah, because sometimes when you go through some hard times with somebody else, you know, you learn a lot about each other and you reveal a lot about one another. And that's always a way to get to know somebody better. I mean, so you want it to be, I would think, a win-win or a positive outcome so you can grow from it and grow closer and get to understand each other at a deeper level. So let's talk about all angles of disagreements. Okay, now we titled it spousal disagreements, but let's open it up wide to any disagreement you have with anybody, even a coworker maybe. 833-288-3986. Please remember, this is your show. So if you don't call in, we're not going to learn, you know, what you can learn from Jerry and I, but that's about it. Okay, we want to hear from you. 833-288-3986. And when we come back, we're going to the phones to hear what you have to say about disagreements.
EWTN Global Catholic Radio, bringing you Take Two with Jerry and Debbie right now. And among the other shows that you can listen to, which you'll get a lot out of, one of my favorites actually, it's Open Line, and it features a different guest with Jack Williams every week. And Monday, Open Line is John Martinoni. That's at 3 Eastern Time, and it encores at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. John Martinoni takes your calls on apologetics right here.
Okay. It would help if I turned my mic up. Okay. We want to hear from you. There's a few open phone lines. I can't believe it, but it's Monday and it's Holy Week and you might be busy doing something that is your custom during Holy Week. So we understand that. 833-288-3986. A perfect time for you to get right in on the show and help others learn and grow from your experiences. 833-288-3986. Okay, Jerry, may we go? Oh, we're not ready yet, but did you have any social media you wanted to comment on? Anybody? Did anybody comment? I cannot seem to pull it up because I think I'm pulling all the rest of the bandwidth from our neighborhood.
Well, how dare you?
I know. They're going to be knocking at my door. It's okay. I told them, I said, listen, it's 1 hour. Just let me have 1 hour. You can have the rest of the day.
Well, we can talk about this topic for a minute, Debbie, because like we've said here, it could be marital relationships. It could be someone you're dating, getting close to marriage. It could be a brother or a sister. Maybe they live around the world, a parent and a child, and they're adults, and they haven't talked to each other forever. It's unfortunate when we hear about these things. But I'd say, you know, for a married couple especially, I've heard a lot of jokes made about this, but as long as you've been married at least 5 minutes, you've had a fight. you know, and that's probably not true. I mean, 5 minutes after you're married is a very joyous time, but it's an exaggeration though. But there are going to be those times when husband and wife simply disagree. I don't want to say get their way. How does one actually, I'll turn it the other way around, Debbie. How does one learn to give in to the spouse? Not to be steamrolled, but to say, you know what, honey, you know, I think, let's do it your way this time. That just takes humility, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. I think you have to choose. You have to pick your battles, you know, because then otherwise everything can become a battle sometimes, you know, because you're not always going to agree on things. I mean, and I think you learn good habits of debating, if you will, or arguing or having disagreements or whatever, even as a child. And interestingly enough, I talk about her so often. My very, very best friend in the whole world, who's really a sister to me, Kristen, just weighed in and she said, do you remember how we got over arguments? We wrote a pact when we were very young and it said we wouldn't argue anymore. Now she still has that pact. It's probably torn into pieces and taped together or something like that. But because I'm sure we somehow, you know, tore it up at different times, but you know what? It was interesting that we chose to do that because we knew we wanted the friendship, the relationship over the disagreements. And I think that's important. When you choose the end result, we chose the end result that we were always going to be close, no matter what. Even if we walked away not talking to each other for a whole day, Jerry, a whole day as little kids, we came back and we knew our friendship was strong and it's been strong ever since. And we're going on, you know, we're 55 years old. So isn't that interesting? So I think you learn certain habits even as a child. Did you argue with your brothers and sisters?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I was going to say with our neighbors, too, we did a lot of what I would look back now and consider to be stupid things. seriously, we would throw rocks at each other. We would do all kinds of stuff. Yeah, that you would think, you know, a child should never do something like that. But we were probably, you know, early teen years, whatever, and we would throw rocks at each other, run up and tackle somebody and start to pound on him. And thing about that, though, Debbie, with those kinds of things, I don't know if it's a universal reality, but we'd be, you know, 10 minutes later playing basketball together and everything's cool, you know?
Is that just a guy thing, though? I think guys can get over
it. That's why I said I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the reason why that was, but I can't remember, you know, even earlier in my life holding any grudges. Real grudges that never...
Okay, so let me get this straight. So as young kids, you used to beat each other up and then go play basketball. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I have some time to see how that weaves into our spirituality?
Sure. I know how the throwing rocks part weaves in. It doesn't.
Yeah. Okay, why don't we turn the microphones over to Warren. And Warren's in Rugby, North Dakota, listening on Sirius XM 130. I think you can do better than us, Warren. Take it away. Welcome to Take Two.
Oh, hi. Appreciate you taking my call. God bless you both for working today. I actually agree. When I was a kid, we used to beat each other up like crazy and then run and play basketball, baseball, or whatever, but that was a boy thing. Girls don't do it. I don't think. I'm not a girl. As far as your, and I don't mean that derogatorily.
No, not at all. I didn't take it that way.
The arguments with your spouse, I approach it even with my teenagers that I will not get emotionally involved, nor will I bow to their emotions. They're theirs. They have nothing to do with me, so I will not address them. I actually have told my wife, your emotions are yours. They're not my God. We will just discuss the problem. And at first, my wife didn't like it. She thought her emotions should be, I'm not sure what she calls it, validated or something, but they shouldn't be. They should be just recognized. Okay, you're emotional. I get emotional too, right? But that's not the problem. What's the problem? And when you do it with your teenagers, it's amazing. But now, I want to point out there are times where I will say something that triggers my wife's emotions. I got to take responsibility for my own words, my own actions, but I still will not take responsibility for how she emotionally responds. They're hers. They're hers. And if I, the more I do that, and the more my wife, we can have what you would think should be heated arguments, but neither one, like she'd get emotional on me sometimes. But it doesn't, we don't have to walk away from one another when it's done. We don't have to, because I'm not going to, I don't know the exact word, I don't partake of her emotions, even when she says nasty things to me. It's like that's an emotion. Not reality. The reality is she loves me. That's the reality. That's it. So if you remember that, not the emotion, I find arguments, even with your teenagers, are much easier. That's my input.
Well, that's very good input, Warren. Very, very well stated. And I think right on the mark for probably just about everyone. Emotions can be very, very powerful things. And it doesn't take a whole lot to trigger them, whether it's a male or a female. And you said that you had that way of doing that with your wife. But you said you don't partake in her emotions. That perhaps that tones things down a little bit, because she realizes that that's not a way that she's going to gain any more in the argument that she otherwise would. And Debbie, it just sounds like they have generally a very amenable way of coming to the end of arguments.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. It sounds like it really works for the two of you. I'm just curious about this, if I may ask you just a couple questions, and I don't want to change anything you're doing because it's obviously working for you. I'm just trying to figure out how it could work for others as well. I understand the idea of with kids, especially if they're still in your house, they're still in your household, and you know they could possibly be going through those hormonal teenage years and stuff like that. Even children, if they're young children, I understand. That. But as you have children, Warren, who are adults, and also as relating to your wife, when you made the comment about validating her emotions, or she, you know, maybe you don't validate, am I safe to say that you acknowledge that there is an emotion happening there? You just don't let that govern the disagreement? Is that, am I understanding that? Because like if she's crying, you're just not going to ignore that she's crying, correct? Or am I wrong on that?
It depends on why she's crying. I'm pretty much, I'll answer it this way. When I was married the first time, the first wife cheated, and then she come home and tell me she's got AIDS. And I had to learn very quickly, my emotions do not matter in this. My emotions are not the fact. The fact is I don't want my kids to be taken away from me, so I got to navigate this carefully. And I realized there's personal power instead of personal victimhood when you overcome your emotions. So when people use their emotions as weapons, and people do not have control of their emotions as a rule. So if I was arguing with my wife, who I know, but if I was arguing with you, I don't know you, and if you started to cry, I wouldn't know whether it was fake or whether it was real. How would you know?
Right,
how would
right,
you know?
Right, right.
I wouldn't know if you have control of your emotions. How would I? With my wife, I know. I've been married to her now 15 years, and so, like, it depends. She's brilliant. She's way smarter than me. And so, like, there are times where she'll cry, and I'll just say, I don't care. I actually tell her, they're not my God. Grow up. And I actually say that to her, grow up, get rid of your emotions. And she does what you wouldn't everybody else would do. You're a dirty, rotten, no good for nothing. But I'm not worried about her doing that. Grow mm-hmm. up. And she does. She grabs a hold of herself, and she says, you're a jerk. And we get back to what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Momentarily, she hates me for it. Momentarily, like there's this rage, hate for it. But when she grabs herself again, mm-hmm. and she does because she loves me. You can't do this with people that don't love you, I guess. But because she does love me and she knows I love her, then we work the problem out, not the emotion. Because often I find that the emotion has nothing to do with the problem. It has to do with something that happened when you were a child. Or boss at work said, you don't work very well and you stink. And you come home and you're like in a bad mood because of that. So like, and I'm exaggerating there.
No,
and even with your own children, like I have adult children who have children now. And some of them don't seem to want to pull their life together, and they get all emotional and they get all like torn and spinning tops. And when they talk to dad, dad is just like, well, fix your life. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, right. Okay.
But they still come and talk.
Right, right. But Warren, I guess what I'm trying to uncover, because I understand where you're come from is in terms of an argument or a disagreement. I get that. But do you have an empathetic nature or a compassionate nature in other situations? Or is it always like a logical sense?
Okay, I understand. I apologize. I think I missed what you're saying. I think I grab it now. I apologize. Okay. No. It would not work if you weren't empathetic. It would not work because gotcha. Then you'd be a machine, right? And right. and my wife used to say to me, "You have no empathy," and I'd laugh and I'd say, "No, I got lots of empathy because I always I've got these feelings going on and everything." Anyways, but you need to actually feel. I don't know if I should say knee. It's important to feel what the other person feels, even if it's like making no sense.
Gotcha.
Because
okay.
that's part of who they are. That's part of who they are. But that doesn't mean, like, it's the same as I got three daughters that are RNs, and quite often they hurt their patients to make them better. And, you know, like, and sometimes my wife has said things to me that cut me to the core, but it made me a better husband. It wasn't because she was mean. It was because, like, I was being a jerk, like I really was, you know. And sometimes, like, if she had gone too far there without empathy, yeah, it could have really harmed me. And it's the same the other way around. So, yeah, you need that empathy. And that's why I was saying if it's real crying, like sometimes people are really, like right now, this crisis, some people are having a real hard time with it. I'm not. I don't worry about it. But I need to respect them and where they are. I don't need to pick up their panicky feelings, though. Does that answer the question?
Absolutely. And I'm going to let Jerry comment, but I just want to say, Warren, you are like the perfect caller for ratings because we're getting a lot of response to your call because a lot of women are weighing in wanting to know your come from. That's why I was asking you a couple questions just to kind of peel away to see where you're at, if it's like totally coming from just your head and not your heart, but you explain that beautifully, that you do understand people's emotions. So it really helps, I think, all the women who are texting right now and calling in. So I'm hoping that they feel satisfied with your explanation because I think it's a very interesting angle. Jerry, what do you think?
I do too. And God willing for Warren and your wife and Debbie and Marty and all married people and families having conflict with one another. Hopefully, once that dross has been worn off, hopefully there's a little bit more love, a little deeper love comes into the relationship. And that always is going to be by degrees. I mean, if it's somebody we meet at a cocktail party or just get to know for the first time briefly and may never see them again and we have a disagreement, I mean, that's going to be treated differently than, say, an extended family member or, of course, a spouse. So, Warren, you have really taught us a lot this morning in Rugby, North Dakota. And we ask you to keep listening, if you'd be so kind, and call us up and let us know next time we have a program that you can resonate with. We would love to hear from you, Warren. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Warren. Be safe. Thank you so much. I should say be well. We had somebody say this weekend that I shouldn't say be safe. I'm like, I should say be happy.
Be happy.
Because we should be happy at all times. Okay, so be happy, be safe, be well. Okay, who's going to be next to pick up that?
Hold on just one second.
Sorry.
Gonna hear some music here in just a minute.
Right. How did you know that?
I know things. I hear things.
I think you've been in radio a long time. Okay, folks, 833-288-3986. Tell us how you get over those nasty disagreements.
Is at peace this morning. We had a couple of open phone lines. We usually have full phones for a show like this, so If you're, maybe you can look back in the past to a disagreement. Maybe you've overcome a series of just conflicts with your spouse or a friend, and two of you got together and said, you know, we need to make sure this doesn't happen anymore, especially within marriages. We can talk about, you know, if you have kids in the house still, how do you try and protect them, guard them, shield them from any disagreements you may have. I know some couples will go into their bedroom and talk things out. Our number is 833-288. What's that?
Or yell things out.
Or yell things out. 833-288-3986. How do you make up after a disagreement? And Larry has been holding patiently in Bluffton, South Carolina, listening on WJXP 94.9. Hi, Larry. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Larry.
How you doing?
Good. Okay. How are you?
Just fine. I have been married twice. The first time I was married for 14 years. I was not a Christian, and neither was my wife, okay? We argued and argued and argued for 14 years, and it finally ended up in a divorce, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I stayed single for about 3 or 4 years, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And as I did that, the next afternoon, I met this lady that was a Christian ever since she was a little bitty girl, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We dated for about a year, and what was so funny, she asked me if I'd take her to the airport. I said, only if you come to church with me the next Sunday, and so she did, okay? Our relationship grew, and we decided to get married, okay? As time went on, I grew closer to her and all, and I remembered my first wife with all the arguments and everything that you're facing, and I didn't want that in this marriage. So I told her, what I'm going to do is fall under the five-minute rule. She says, what is the five-minute rule? This is the day before we got married. I said, well, I know you're not going to find me perfect. You're going to find flaws here and there and all. I said, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to tell me what's wrong with me, and I'm going to focus on what you're saying. And if you can't get it out in 5 minutes, you got to wait 24 hours to start again. And we've been married 32 years and never, ever had an argument.
Wait a minute. Do you get 5 minutes to tell her the same thing, or is it just one way?
Exactly. And we have never, ever went over the five-minute rule. And that's because first you have to remember that she's a child of God.
Right.
And she's a blessing to you because that's God's blessing to you. Okay? And I honor her every day. Every day I honor her. Matter of fact, right now, she's got Parkinson's disease, okay? Mm-hmm. She's had it for 6 years. When she realized that she had the disease, she decided she did not want to go into a nursing home. I said, okay, then I'll take care of you. So I've been taking care of her for 6 years, day and night, 24 hours a day, and she really, truly is a blessing. You know, you have to remember who she is. And, she honors me, I honor her. And the whole bit about arguing, you don't get nowhere. All you do is get frustrated and get madder and madder. But if you truly love her, you will not argue with her, but you will talk sensibly. And what I call sensibly is God's word. And so that's how we make it. We made it 32 years. She's right with me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I love her, you know, and that's all it boils into. But, you know, she's 71. I'll be 70 August the 2nd. And as far as I'm concerned, she's the best thing that ever happened to me, and I realize that.
That is beautiful. Larry, that is beautiful. I'm getting emotional just hearing your story of the love that you two share. Are you able, Larry, I know she's with you, but, you know, we keep a prayer book for all of the Take Two family, all of us that are going through things and working through things.
Yeah.
And can you give us her first name so I can enter her name in the book? Because we'll be praying for you and your beautiful wife, you know, around the clock.
Her name is Judy. And what really is strange, I drive a semi for a living, okay? I've been driving this truck for 28 years. And guess where she's at? She's with me.
That's beautiful.
She's with me, mm-hmm. You know?
She's your partner.
So, she is my partner, mm-hmm. Okay? You know, she's gotten mad with me a little bit. I'm talking about a little bitty bit. I said, you know, this might fall under spousal abuse. You better stop. As a humor, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But anyway, she just shuts right up because she knows she's only got 5 minutes, you know. I said, now, I'm not going to leave the property. I said, I may be out there cutting the grass or working in the shop or something like that, but you're not going to argue with me no more than 5 minutes. I said, but I'm going to be here, but not where you can argue with me. You know, and then I said, if you need me, just call me. And it won't be but a minute or two. She'll call me. She says, come on in. Mm-hmm. So it's good. It's all good.
Well, she loves you dearly, Larry, and you obviously love her with the care that you're giving to her. Thanks be to God that you were there and you were able to do that for her. That's really what you call heroic love. And I know I've never been married, but I've had a couple of dating situations throughout the years with girls. And,
mm-hmm.
And as I look back, I think, just in my own experience, but this might be a little more universal than I think. I think we all sort of have an idea in mind of the person we want to meet and eventually get married to.
Oh.
And so we do that, and a lot of those things are in place, but you're so close together and so intimately connected during marriage in the same house, under the same roof, and in the same bedroom, that there are going to be those things. I mean, you can't have a checklist and mark them all off before you get married. So mm-hmm. I think it's just a good idea for anyone going into that to keep in mind that you have to be able to give. You have to be able to give as well as receive.
I'll tell you what the glue is.
Go ahead, Larry.
The glue is Jesus Christ, our mm-hmm. personal Savior. When you turn over your life to Him, it's easy. It is easy, you know. Mm-hmm.
It changes everything.
It changes you completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
My first wife, we could argue for 3 days. I'm talking 3 o'clock in the morning. We're still going at it.
Right.
But over stupid stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And now we don't even argue anymore because, you know, we're both adults. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. And when we have a question, we go straight to the book.
Right. Well,
that's
Larry,
what it is.
Yeah, Larry, a couple things. We've got a lot of, and you might have heard Warren, our first caller, who did a fabulous job sharing what he does in his household and with his children and his wife. And we got a lot of comments. People were wondering, you know, what was his angle? How does that work? How do you see that? And then we're getting a lot of comments on your story. And a lot of folks are saying true love. You know, with exclamation points, and that's got to make you feel good. So people are recognizing mm-hmm. you have delivered, you have given us a beautiful snapshot of your beautiful love story. And I think that's wonderful. I love the fact that I like to say you're driving the truck together because I'm sure she's probably watching out, you know, the road for you as well. So pretty cool, Larry.
Well, with Parkinson's, she's got to the point that she can only say 2 or 3 words. But she's never said stop or whoa. But anyway, she smiles all the time because she knows that even though she can't communicate with me well, you know, I can look into her eyes and she'll hold my hand and we communicate other ways. You know what I mean? And so, you know, she didn't want to go into a nursing home, even though she's probably ready to. I told her, no, you didn't want to go to nursing home. I'm sorry. I told her, I said, I was reading our marriage vows, and I see no expiration date on it. So I said, Judy, I'm sorry, but you're stuck with me. And I just let it go.
Wow, Larry. Wow. You, that is a love that, if every couple had that love, there'd be a lot better families and marriages in the world today. Thank you, Larry, for sharing all that you did with us. Go ahead.
It's nothing but total peace. Nothing but peace.
It sounds like it. It really does. So thanks, Larry, for calling, and we'll keep you and, of course, Judy in our prayer book. And feel free to keep us posted anytime you would like. You can always call the program or email us if you're on email at take2@ewtn.com. Take2@ewtn.com. We got some, our phone number, by the way, is 833-288-3986. Great calls coming in today. How would you like to weigh on in this conversation about how you overcome a disagreement with your spouse or another person that you're close to in life?
Yeah. Thank you again, Larry. Did you wish Larry and Judy safe traveling?
I didn't say safe traveling, but
safe traveling,
said we'll be praying for them.
Right. And remember, your guardian angels are right with you, helping to steer that truck. So safe traveling, Larry. Thank you so much. Jerry, do we dare share some of the comments that are coming in for, I want to say, poor Warren, our first caller? A lot of people are struggling with what he said. You know, maybe we should address that. This is take two. We cover it from all angles. What do you think? You go ahead, Jerry. I'll let you decide.
Your memory is better than mine, and you take notes better than me.
Are you kidding me? You really want me to do it? Okay, Warren, if you're listening, can I read a couple of these? I'm going to leave the names. This is a one of our listeners from Toledo, Ohio. And she says, Warren sounds like he behaves very badly with his wife. I would in no way take his advice or his example as helpful or actually living out the sacrament of marriage. Not acknowledging his wife's feelings probably makes her feel belittled and not heard. And he's congratulating himself. Yikes. And that's from one of our loyal listeners in Toledo, Ohio. So, I mean, in Warren's defense, okay, I was asking him different angles of it, and I really understood his come from. He's, if I may say this, and Warren, if you want to call back, feel free to call back. I just want to say this. I think, was your takeaway from Warren's story that he just doesn't want the emotions to govern the argument to lead? Because, you know, you can scream and cry your way in an argument, and it can escalate into a major conflict because the emotions rule, and then you don't really get to the problem. Was that your takeaway? Because that was my takeaway with Warren. It didn't sound like he was not compassionate or empathetic. What did you take away?
Yeah, more or less the same for me. Yeah, I thought he wants to really. I think he wants cooler heads to prevail, and we all know that when we're emotional and our emotions can cause us to say things, do things, act certain ways that we otherwise wouldn't. So I would try to see it a little bit more that way as well, Debbie. That's the way I took it.
Yeah, that's how I took it too. I mean, I understand where a lot of the ladies are weighing in on this. We have another one of our loyal listeners from New Jersey said, no, I don't agree. I don't agree with Warren at all. And now she wants to go give her husband a big, huge kiss because she's very appreciative of her husband. So, Warren, I have to tell you, though, you are a great caller to call in on different topics because you are lighting up the comment line like crazy, which I think is really good because that lends its way to a good, vibrant, healthy discussion, Jerry, where we can walk away with different ideas. We may not agree with everybody, but we have different perspectives. What do you think about that? I don't view it as a bad thing. We don't have to all agree, right? What do you think?
Well, no matter what you're talking about, you're going to have people with different thoughts or, you know, ideas about them. And you and I get this all the time on the program. We get done with a show and all of a sudden this email comes in saying something, you know, or kind of taking us to task for doing something that, you know, they took the meaning to be exactly the opposite of what we may have meant. So I think that does happen. And we of course don't really have, we can email the person back, but we never have that in-person opportunity to try and explain what was being said. So I think it's just part of human nature, really.
Yeah, but I really like this. I think this topic has really been helpful. We do have our friend Kathy that weighed in who said that she had Parkinson's patients that she cared for, and she says that Larry is doing great with his wife, Judy. So that's a pat on the back for Larry and the beautiful relationship that they have. I think this was an interesting conversation. I have to tell you, it makes me appreciate Marty because hearing all the different kind of comments coming in and people's viewpoints on how to argue what they think are, you know, to disagree, you know, civilly. I'm very grateful for Marty. Marty's very good about weighing the emotional side of, because I can be very, you know me, Jerry, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I'm very expressive with my emotions, you know? But I think I'm pretty level-headed, aren't I? Well, I don't want to put you on the spot, but what do you think? Okay, what do you think, Jerry?
Well, we're getting short on time here, so I have to...
Just forget it, okay?
No, I think you got a very, very good head on your shoulders, absolutely.
Yes, I try to balance it, but I can see where I get it. I get where it can get too emotional or too logical, so, yeah.
Well, I want to mention, you know, I cannot believe it is Holy Week already. Palm Sunday was yesterday. I hope that you were able to watch TV. The Mass on TV, EWTN airs that numerous times throughout the day. And during Holy Week, EWTN brings you live programming, such as choral meditations and a solemn Mass of the Lord's Supper from the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. That's Thursday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN television and radio. So be aware of that, and all kinds of other Holy Week and Triduum programming will be coming your way from EWTN.
Did Palm Sunday feel strange to you yesterday watching it on the computer or TV?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, I've got behind some of my pictures at home, you know how you make the little cross out of the palm, do those little things with them. Yeah, I've got several of those kind of hanging behind pictures in my house. And I thought, wow, yeah, it's Palm Sunday. And we're not only not going to get a palm, we're not going to get the Eucharist either. Mm-hmm. So boy, oh boy, I hope that dear listeners of Take Two and all people, Catholics, non-Catholics, let us just realize that this is the holiest time of the year, and we have so much to be thankful for because of what Jesus did for us. And remember, we are missing the Eucharist right now, and we have the Eucharist because we had Jesus on a cross. We had Jesus on the cross because at the Last Supper, Jesus foretold his passion and his death, and it happened, and he gave the apostles that first Eucharist, and now we get the Eucharist every time we go to Mass in a state of grace. So let us pray that our churches are open again and the Masses become celebrated for the public again, Debbie. It's so mm-hmm. important to our spiritual lives.
Yep. Amen to that. Okay, so we have a little bit of time, which we normally don't have on Take Two because we're moving so quickly. So just a couple things I wanted to just highlight. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about video games. How much is too much? So yeah, you can see how all of these topics are relating to the fact that we are at home. So that is really, did I say that right? You just sent me a note.
I just said there's social media comments on the Google Doc.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant a reference to the video game. I thought you were referring to the video games. I thought maybe I got the title wrong. Yeah, so video games, how much is too much? Also, too, I just want to make sure that visit standtalltoday.com. Okay, our growing list of certified life coaches in disaster recovery and restart, it's growing, and people are taking, are looking at different coaches that they want to maybe work with, and that is a wonderful thing. So standtalltoday.com. And Jerry, you're gonna do some social media comments, but I just wanted to share that our fine ladies are taking their sides. But you know what? That's okay. I mean, it's a good thing. Our friend Patricia said, the ladies should let Warren be. He is not abusive to his spouse. He wants to say it or call it as it is. Deal with the real problem. People need to be slow to condemn. So everybody's, you know, I think it's, you know, this is what's the beauty of life coaching, and you and I get it, Jerry, because we've done this for a long time. You just have to learn where people's come from is. Sometimes when people say things on the surface, it seems very harsh and it seems very, like, very foreign to you. And that's why you gotta get to the real heart of it. And what I saw was Warren tries to get to the problem. He wants to solve the problem and move on without it going on and on and on. And there's really, you know, nothing wrong with that. We all want to get to the you know, heart of the issue and take care of it. Right, Jerry?
Yeah, I would say even in my own life, I don't know if it's due to insecurities or what, but I come upon some difficult arguments or tough situations in work or with a relationship or something. And I just, my first instinct is to flee from it, you know, to flee and not have to face it head on. And I've learned as I've gotten older, the only real way to handle it properly is to just kind of lower your head and get on through it. And, you know, you might take a little ding here or there, but it's ultimately going to be the best thing for both you and the other person. And like we were saying earlier, relationships can be made better, I think. You know, it's kind of like the you plant the seed, which is a relationship, and mm-hmm. as it grows, it needs water to help grow. It needs sunlight to help grow. So with our relationships, it just needs those maybe some a little bump along the way for it to grow deeper and more loving.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well said, Jerry. Do you want to YouTube comments? We got some really cool YouTube comments from Anna Marie and Nikki. Do you want to share those? Because I did. We just got a show idea from our friend Marianne. She says she wants us to do a show on how has your diet changed during COVID-19.
Okay.
Which they're thinking that people, it's going to be COVID. I've gained 19 pounds.
Right.
Seriously.
Possible.
But go ahead. Yeah.
Well, Anna Marie, who is watching on the YouTube channel, thank you, Anna Marie. She says, after the glares and the silent treatment, we forgive, let go, move on. When younger, those glares last days before we forgive. But now, 30 years later, they only last seconds. And we forgot because we both have learned life is so short mm-hmm. and it offends God when we fight. Get over things very quickly now. Pick your battles. And that is from Anna Marie.
I love that. Nikki says, I think women keep score, so to speak, if the woman feels whatever hurt her was not resolved. I totally agree with that, Nikki, because we don't want to, you know, have that happen to us again. It was painful and we'd like it to get resolved and get healed on some level. So we don't want to, you know, enter that pain again and again and again. So we do sometimes maybe keep a little score. I'll be the first to admit I have at times. Well, I mean, hey, we're transparent on this show. We tell everything like it is. What you see is what you get, right?
Yeah. Well, we need to go back and you need a remedial program of how do you let go of grudges that we did a few weeks ago.
Oh, please.
Claire would just like prayers for the conversion of her husband and her sons. And so we are big. We are huge on prayer. You can always send in your prayer requests via social media or on the internet at take2@ewtn.com. And of course, twice a month we have first of all at the first show of the month is whom or what are you praying for? And then around the middle of the month, we kind of ratchet things up and let you call in with your very serious, your urgent prayer requests. So two times a month, Debbie, people get to call in and get the whole world praying with them. And now we're going to add Claire's intentions as well.
You got it. And did you comment Stan's comment? Did you read Stan's? Did you see Stan?
I don't think I saw it.
Yeah. Did you skip over it? I'm like scrolling down.
I must have. Yeah. Sorry,
you go
Stan.
Go right ahead. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Stan says, I get over most nasty fights by examining my conscience most of the time. I will find where it was my fault. I have had a lot of rough edges. It's hard when people carry over. I think I held on too much. So Stan, with some good advice there, Debbie, just go to an examination of conscience.
Yeah, yeah. We have a few more comments coming in. Here's one comment that came in from one of the Take Two family members said, people need more than 5 minutes to express their feelings. Okay, so there's a comment there. So some people need more than 5 minutes. I think I need a little bit more than 5 minutes. You know, it's a tough situation. Disagreements are never fun. I mean, you know, you have a difference of opinion. It can move on to where one's trying to force their, you know, view on the other person because they want, I think naturally, Jerry, especially in a marriage, you want to think alike, you know, you want to have that bond, if you will, of like-mindedness. And so I think sometimes when there is a major disagreement, like even if it's over finances or something like that, it can really easily escalate sometimes into a bigger explosion. Mm-hmm. Our friend Kathy says that I'm cracking her up. She says, you're cracking me up today.
Well, you know, in our final minute here, Debbie, we should give a little bit of a plug to tomorrow's program. And especially now with parents, your kids are home a lot. They're going to school at home, but they're just at home more than they otherwise might be. And we have had a listener suggest doing a show on video games. How much is too much? Do you let that happen in your home? How long? Do you have guidelines? Do you have certain restrictions on it? Or is it just kind of a free-for-all in your home with regard to your young people playing video games? That's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can't wait till tomorrow's show. And Marianne, you'll be happy to know we will add your COVID-19 to the show calendar. We'll call it COVID, How to Lose 19 Pounds, Not Gain 19 Pounds. Okay, folks, you got to have a little laughter in your life. So until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.